listening to ESL Talk, a podcast made for English teachers by English teachers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, welcome to another brand new season of ESL Talk. We are really excited to share lots of incredible interviews, tips, advice, and ways for you to improve as an English teacher. Hope everyone had an incredible break depending where you are in the world, but we're really excited to get back to it this season with lots of great episodes and features and also lots of ways you can improve your teaching skills too. So what are we talking about in the first episode this season? We're actually talking about learning Chinese as an ESL learner. And we have Hannah from Speak On English, who has been incredibly successful in building up her teaching skills and her following by catering and targeting Chinese students. Now, I know it's been a little while since the last episode of last season, and I do just want to say thank you for all your patience while we recorded interviews and we got things ready for this season. Hopefully, you'll be able to listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and we're also going to be adding the video interview as well, so you'll be able to find that on our YouTube page too. And as always, we're going to continue updating the website, which is esl-talk.com as well. Just on a personal note, I've been working on a couple of different programs, a few things working with teachers. So I'm really happy to say that I now have a test prep program up and running with my teaching partner, Claudia, who's been helping me with that. And I've also been doing some work with teachers themselves individually as well. So it's been a really nice journey for me over the past few months. And while on that journey, as always, I've met some incredible people, lots of people who actually reached out through our Instagram page, which now has well over 4,000 followers. And it's great to see that even while we've not been recording episodes, we're still getting consistently hundreds of listens every single week. So thank you so much for all of your support with that. It's great to see, and I hope we can just continue to grow even more this season. And just as last season finished, this season is going to continue with our amazing sponsor, ESL-curriculum.com. Access now to, I think, over 600 interactive, ready-made, off-the-shelf ESL lessons covering all levels, all ages, all abilities, whether it's kids' English, business English, IELTS English, whatever you need, you can get it at esl-curriculum.com. You can go and start your free 2-week trial where you can sample all the different lessons and curricula available. And if you like it, you can just continue for as little as a few dollars a month. So do check them out if you get the chance. Just go to esl-curriculum.com to get started. So let's introduce our first guest of the new season of ESL Talk. Let's invite Hannah to come and join us for the interview, where she's going to tell us all about how and why she learned Chinese as an ESL teacher and how this has actually helped her get a much better connection with her audience. Here we go.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Alrighty, thank you. We are with Hannah from Speak on English. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Daniel.
Really excited to talk to you because we're doing something we don't usually do. We usually talk about teaching generally on the podcast, but today we're kind of talking about learning another language as an English teacher and how that can help you with your teaching as well. So Hannah, why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about your journey and kind of how you got to where you are today?
Love that. So first off, I really love languages from the sense that I started it off when I was in eighth grade. I didn't know any Spanish in eighth grade, but my mom is from Mexico and she would use Spanish all the time around me, but never teaching me really. And I always wanted to know what she was talking about. I always wanted to know the shows that she was watching. What are they talking about? So that's when she did encourage me to take Spanish classes. And I started asking her questions like, what is this? What is that? How do I say like this? And this immediate feedback and the corrections and her laughing at my mistakes, it was so intriguing to me, and how I would make connections between different words and how Spanish has connections with English. And it kind of was just this really awesome journey of growth every single time. I was so stimulated by this. And so that's what helped me when it came to the point of me volunteering. My mom said, why don't you help out my friend? My friend needs to learn English. You know Spanish. She's a native Spanish speaker. It'll help you out as you teach her in Spanish, teach her some concepts in Spanish. So I was like, okay, let's do this. So I did it and I was like, wow, because my Spanish still wasn't 100% good. Mm-hmm. I was at an intermediate level, but as I was able to help her, I was helping myself. And since she saw my mistakes, she said, oh, okay, it's actually not so bad if someone makes a mistake, because she's teaching me and she's making mistakes and it's fine. It's not as bad as it seems.
Right.
And that directly translated into the job I have now, which I'm teaching mainly Chinese speakers how to speak English.
Amazing. This is so cool. And, you know, we connected through social media because I really love your content, the way you kind of, you know, deliver the content in an engaging way, in a really unique way, which I like. And something that I thought we should talk about today was about actually
you learning Chinese, because I was really impressed at your level of Chinese. I know you haven't been learning for that long, but it was really interesting to see that. And again, it just ties in with knowing the language that your students know a little bit can really help build that connection. So is that what inspired you to start learning Chinese, or was there another motivation?
It was several reasons, to be honest, because I first joined this platform and I had a mentor. My mentor said, I recommend you to learn Chinese, Korean, and Japanese, because those are the three main groups of people on this platform. And if you know how to speak even just the basics of that, those languages, you'll make more money. So initially, I'm not going to lie, it was like motivated by money. But... she told me, yeah, just download Duolingo, just learn a few things and you can add it to your profile. No big deal. I was like, okay, why not? I tried to do three languages at once, Chinese, Korean, and Japanese. Oh, no, no, too much. And so I just focused on Chinese, and I didn't like it because I was just doing it for money. And I was like, oh, I gave up. And like about 30 days later, I said, oh, I see my students struggling and I want to show them that I feel their journey. So it was kind of more like an empathy thing. And this is what really drove me to learn more about Chinese, because I wanted to make them surprised. I'm American. People don't really expect an American to speak Chinese. I love the reaction when my students are like, oh, you said that so good.
Yeah, the shock factor. Yeah,
it's great, even though I just say something super simple.
Right.
So it's grown to be more about the connections. And yeah, that's what makes it so special. That's why I think more people should admire the journey of learning a language instead of having some end goal of, I want to make X amount of money. Although that is also really great.
Well, yeah,
it does, for sure. For me, it was so much more motivating to enjoy the process and connection by connection, conversation by conversation, just really feeling that was special. Yeah.
So you mentioned Duolingo initially, like to get started with the basics. So how did you, what resources or methods did you use? Did you get a teacher or tutor for yourself to learn Chinese?
Oh, you know, I was not making a lot of money at that time. So I had a belief in myself that I could teach myself. And I have done this with other things as well, like the SAT, like tying my shoes, braiding my hair, learning things by myself is like in my blood. So I was convinced I can teach myself. No worries. Yeah, so it's okay. No biggie. I love a challenge. But the truth is, I could not do it for the life of me. I was being really consistent with the Duolingo, having the little flame with the streak and everything. Oh, yeah. And it's cool how they gamify that whole process. But the thing is that like, I felt like I wasn't going anywhere. Because as many hours as I was investing into Duolingo, I still felt like I couldn't speak anything to my students. I actually really still wasn't brave enough to say anything, because I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's not right. Maybe people don't say this. Because I did get one instance where I proudly said one sentence in front of my student. And they were like, oh, we don't really say that.
Oh no, that's so sad.
And it was discouraging. Like, I've been spending all this time, and I asked another student, do you say this? Do you say it like that? Do you use this word? No, that sounds very formal. It sounds very like textbook Chinese. And so discouraging. I said, where do I turn to? Where do I go? At the time, I can't afford a class. I really couldn't. I didn't have any extra money. However, since I was so frustrated at my lack of progress, I did turn to the platform that I'm on. I searched and searched and searched. I took a few trial lessons with some teachers, and they would say, oh, do you know 1, 2, 3? Do you know coffee? Like, that they would do the whole thing in Chinese though. Like, oh, 一二三. cafe shui, and I was like, yes, I already know this. This I know it. I told them in the beginning that I was a beginner because I am a beginner, but they were really going through the really, really super beginner stuff. And I say, okay, yeah, I know this. I know this. Yeah, I know. And then you say, oh, okay, you know. And then they start speaking in really long sentences. And I'm like, whoa, well, I don't know that much. I don't understand. And they kind of didn't have a, I couldn't feel the feeling of they wanted to help me. Mm-hmm. I felt like they just wanted to get the class over with and ask me the next question. And just, I didn't feel a connection. It took me like 10, no, yeah, maybe 10 different teachers until I finally found the one.
That's awesome.
Right. But the before that, I actually, my friend actually offered me some free classes. And he said, why are you searching for teachers? I can teach you. I'm like, are you sure? How much do I owe you? How much will I need to pay you? He said, no. You don't need to pay me. You don't need to pay
me. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a real challenge that a lot of teachers have is, well, a lot of students have as well, is they try to, they spend months and months trying to find teachers. And, you know, this is not me kind of blowing smoke or anything, but like there's times where students come to me and they're like, I wish I found you 3 months ago, 6 months ago. And I'm sure you've had that experience too. I said, you know, yeah. Because a lot of teachers, maybe, you know, they're not really invested or motivated, or they just kind of feel like, well, you know, I just need to make money, so I'll just do whatever. I won't really prepare. I'll just talk and have conversation. And that's fine for some students. But, you know, depending on what students need, like they need real kind of consistency and they need to maintain that motivation, right? So yeah. It's really tricky. But it's a very common issue for students. And I'm really happy to hear you found a good teacher in the end to help you with this. So how did you maintain that motivation and that consistency when you were learning Chinese? Because it's a real challenge for everyone.
It is, because we have lives, we're adults, and we have responsibilities and different tasks. And I am not consistent. I do whatever I can to maintain that consistency. For example, I schedule weekly lessons. If I had the money, I would definitely schedule with my teacher every single day, because she is just that good. And I'll also listen to podcasts. I've always asked my students, oh, what podcasts are you listening to? Because they speak Chinese, they listen to Chinese podcasts. I want to know what natives are listening to. Right. I started off with the content designed for Chinese learners. That was great. Okay. But I didn't learn the authentic Chinese, because I kept asking, once again, my students, how about this phrase? I know this phrase. Oh, no, maybe don't say it like that. Maybe say it like this. I was like, oh, this is such a waste of time. Let me just hear what you hear. Just give me what you hear. And that's when I would use it for shadowing. That's when I would use it to search up some words that I have already heard, but I don't know. And but I lose motivation every single week. I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like doing it. Maybe I can just invest that time into my video creation. Maybe I can invest that time into my lessons or my family. You know, it's balance for everything. I can't always put my energy towards Chinese, right. Unless I completely immerse myself, which I'm working on. And whatever conversation I can get with my students, I'll put in like a sentence of Chinese. I'll try to see, oh, can I make that sentence like this? And they are always willing to help me out. Like, oh, Hannah, this verb is like this. And a huge explanation, even though I didn't ask for it. It's so awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's really true. This is one beautiful thing. I wouldn't say I'm particularly good at any language. I'm pretty good at Korean just because I lived there. I was around it. I was surrounded by it. I lived it. I studied it every day. So I got to a pretty good level. But with other languages, for example, like I have students who are Spanish speaking, Arabic speaking, Farsi speaking, what else? Polish speaking. So like I have a wide range of languages. And this is what you were saying at the start. If you can just learn a few words in that language, you can instantly connect with a student. You can build, you know, a good rapport, a good level of trust,
right.
You know, a good long-term working relationship for sure. So it's really important. But yeah, I know what you mean. There's times when I'm meeting with my Korean students and I might say something and they're like, Yeah, but like you should say it like that. Or I'm like, is this the right word? And it helps me with vocabulary as well. So it's definitely a good learning process. Now, question I have about Chinese specifically, because I've tried many times to pick up the basics, but of course the issue is the pronunciation and the tones. You can say a sound or you can look at something four or five different ways and it has totally different meanings. So did you start to get to grips with the different tones and the pronunciation of Chinese?
Right. That was so confusing for me too, because I couldn't internalize it. Like when I heard it from another person, I really had to think, oh, is that a falling tone or what is that? I couldn't hear a first tone, second tone, or third tone. And my favorite way to do that is to hear my friend. I will have him say the sentence normal speed. And I'll say, oh, can you say that again? Like really slowly. And he'll say it really slowly. I'm like, okay. And then it's in an audio recording because we're doing audio message. Mm-hmm. And so I'll play it again and I'll repeat it. No, 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 no. And play again. Da, da, da. Well, hush way. And I don't even have to think about, what each tone is. I just say like a melody, like a song. So like we internalize a song just like Chinese. So that's how I got it. Like with wo and ni, I don't even have to think about those because I use them in almost every sentence. Right. So yeah, the repetition is so key for me because then I don't have to, it's kind of like how we breathe. We don't have to consciously think about, oh, how do I breathe? How do I step? I don't know.
Yeah. But when you do slow it down and go through the steps, you find that you're much more effective at it. Right. So it's really interesting.
Starting slow. Exactly. Yeah, and then
it's a really good point. And this is really great because there's so many teachers that listen to us and that we speak to who are from other countries. They speak other languages. We work with a lot of teachers who are English teachers, but they're from China. And, they ask a lot of questions and they're like, oh, this is a stupid question or this is a silly question. I'm like, no, it's not. It's important to know pronunciation. With my Spanish speakers, there's certain sounds that are really difficult in English. So, when they talk about what they did at the weekend or when they went on vacation, I have to check and say, you mean you went to the beach with your friends, right? They're like, yes. I'm like, okay, great. And right. you're in a meeting with your boss and you were talking about the budget, right?
But,
yeah. So I'm like, okay. So this, again, I don't want it to get flagged but I think you can kind of guess what I mean. And there's some really funny situations with that. And again, you don't want to make it a joke, but if you can try to break the ice and just, say it's fine, no problem, it's okay. And these are really good learning situations. And again, in Chinese, I learned this mistake where a student produced a piece of writing and I said, oh, it's pretty good. And she's like, what do you think? I said, yeah, not too shabby, not too shabby. And she started laughing a lot. I'm like, what's so funny? And it turns out it sounds very similar to a curse word in Chinese.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I just realized.
So it's again, these can be really good learning opportunities just by asking and kind of learning some techniques. But again, context is great. Because you can really pick up those natural situations, and again, it's a really nice way to really improve your skills in another language. In terms of vocabulary and grammar, what strategies did you use for this? Because again, you don't have many opportunities outside of your classes. You're not always immersed. So how do you do this on your own, Hannah?
Vocabulary and grammar. Mm-hmm. I started off with flashcards. I didn't like it because I couldn't build any connections. I was thinking robotically. Mm-hmm. So I shifted onto pictures. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a stack of flashcards where I had the picture on one side and the Chinese on the other. I didn't write the English. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to figure out the English, then I would have to go into my computer and type it. And that extra barrier to figure out the English part helps me to not think in English, but rather think in Chinese, because I'm just connecting the picture directly to the Chinese character. So in that sense, I'm learning Chinese like a Chinese.
Right.
Right. So that's really cool. Number one. And then incorporating it into my speaking, because if we don't use it, we lose it. Right. Right. I there's been times and time again where my teacher has to introduce a new word. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a new word. And so we use it in the conversation. And then a few minutes later, she asks me a question using that word. Yes. I'm like, oh, yes. you told me that word, but I just forgot. And so now that she said it again, stays in my long-term memory. And maybe I forget it again later on. But then she tells me that third time, and I'm so much less likely to forget that word.
That's really cool.
Now, in terms of grammar, just making so many sentences and speaking for us as much as possible, I didn't really do a lot of grammar exercises because I also feel like that makes me think robotically. I do believe in that. I wish I could have like a good grammar workbook. I want to look into that. But what I would typically do is describe my daily life around me. So what am I doing? Was I 上课? Was I 中文课? I'm in Chinese class. And 我们在说话, we're talking and just describing everything in the first person and describing my thoughts, my feelings, describing my actions, maybe, and then shifting onto like future actions, like what might happen, something. And going into this, I get into a sentence structure that's not familiar to me, but then maybe I shift it in a way that uses what I already know. Maybe it's a very basic way of saying that. And then later on, I can ask my teacher, oh, I wanted to say this. Do you know how I can say that? So, yeah.
This is good. And this is a really useful strategy because as teachers, we model certain, you know, strategies or techniques, and we don't do them ourselves when we're learning a language. So it's kind of, you know, we got to practice what we preach. And I like what you said about vocabulary. I say to students, okay, new word. Okay, what do we think it means? Let's break it down. Like, what are the syllables or what's the root word? It could mean this. Okay, well, that's the meaning of it. Okay, so why don't we try to put that into a sentence? Okay, think about your life as a student or think about your life as a business person. How might you use this in a sentence? Okay, perfect. So let's write it down. Okay, now at the end of the lesson, maybe we've got 5 or 6 words on a theme, on a category. So let's say we're talking about, I don't know, working from home. So we have these 5 or 6 words, like schedule, routine, communication, whatever it is. Okay, put that into a paragraph now. And then record yourself in that paragraph. So then we've nailed speaking, listening, reading, and writing. And then also hopefully that repetition, like you said, 3 times, that's in there. So that really helped me actually with learning Korean. So kind of similar to what you did. Yeah. I'd write like a short diary extract, what I did that day. I'd try to record it and listen back. Okay, does that sound good? And then I get feedback from a colleague or a friend. Okay, I can fix it. And then that way it's so much more natural because you've already practiced those streams or those chunks of vocabulary in multiple ways. So it's just like streams out, which is great. And kind of it was exactly the example that was kind of in the video that you shared with your Chinese teacher where you just have these moments where it just all flows out, right? And you're like, I can do this. It's like a breakthrough moment, right?
Right, exactly. Oh my gosh. And something to connect off of what you said is I did something recently and I love it where I put on the dictation function on my notes. So I go into my notes, I open it. I don't type, but I just speak it. So I just turn on my Chinese keyboard. I tap the microphone and I start talking. And maybe I'm like a million times, but it's still listening to me. So it's okay. No one's waiting. I don't have to be pressured into getting my sentence out. Right. So, and then I can check it back. I'm like, oh, let me copy paste, put it in a translate. And is this what I wanted to say? And maybe I got some of the tones wrong. Then that shows in whatever was typed. Amazing. Right. And then
what's the name of this app, Hannah?
Oh, it's just like my regular iPhone notes. And so, yeah, I just simply go to the regular iPhone notes, just like that. And I, so like on setting.
And then
record.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I use that with my students too. So I'll tell them, okay, just make sure you open the notes app. Just press the transcription button. Mm-hmm. And 我们聊聊, 我很喜欢咖啡, 我们在, 上课, and then you know you have your sentence and well,
amazing.
Yeah, that's
really cool.
This is
an amazing strategy. I'm so glad you shared this because this is a new way that we can utilize and leverage language that we have to help us. And again, like what we've been saying this whole time during our discussion is, it really can impact not just your income, because that's one part of it. That was your initial motivation, but it can also impact the connections you make with students. It opens up a lot more opportunities. It opens up a lot more, different things you can do as a teacher as well. So like, I know for me, kind of knowing a little bit meant, oh, that means maybe you're okay to like teach my students instead of me teaching them, or you can work with a group of them, or you can maybe connect to this person who's not so confident. It just opened up a lot of opportunities for me with Korean. And again, like I put on my profile when I was using, you know, when I was advertising on certain platforms, I'd say I speak Korean, and people would be like, yeah, whatever. And I would chat with them and they'd be like, oh. And then it would be easier because let's say my student is like, the main issue I face is I'm lacking confidence, or I'm not quite feeling like I'm able to, you know, articulate myself properly, or I'm transferring from L1 to L2 English, which is coming out wrong. Well, I understand because I've actually gone through that process myself. And I hear it all the time. Like, I have a passion for learning languages. Well, do you though? Like you should say, I know what it's like to learn a language, but I'm like, do you really? So like, if you can definitely demonstrate that and articulate that, then that's going to help you a lot professionally. How has it impacted you professionally in terms of your teaching?
You're talking about how has learning languages impacted me professionally?
Yes. So like, you know, we could talk about Spanish and also Chinese. Like, has this helped you get more business? Has this helped you connect with a wider audience? What would you say?
Oh, for sure. You know, something that bothers me from the beginning was the fact that, and it kind of still bothers me, I make all my content on Instagram in English. And I sometimes pop in with a little bit of Spanish or Chinese, and then I get DMs like, oh, I didn't know you speak these languages. And yeah, okay. Now, it bothers me because Americans typically don't learn a second language. Americans just know English. We don't need to know another language. And right. So in my mind, being an English teacher, English is my native language. So of course I'm going to know the language, but do we know the technicality of it? Do we know how to teach it? Not everyone knows how to teach English. So who am I to tell you this is how you learn English? If I don't know any other language, I feel like my students, if roles were switched and I saw me, I'd be like, what do you know about what it takes to learn English? You just learned it as a native language. So who are you to tell me how to learn this? So the fact that I have shown them, oh, I use this strategy and it works, and they can trust me because they can see, oh, she actually does have a really good Spanish accent. She speaks really well, and she's only learned for X amount of time. And I feel really confident in my ability as a teacher. And since I feel confident in my strategies, my study strategies, and my tips for motivation, my students feel that. And that's how I, like you said about trust, they can feel that my strategies are not just made up or searched up online, or I'm just giving you some suggestion because I don't know. It works. And if I use it and I've struggled to figure it out, I share it with you. Yeah, you can know that that you're going to have success. I want you to have success.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than teachers who preach you have to do ABC, XYZ, and then, well, how do you know that it works? So like, what evidence do you have from your journey? Well, when I was learning Korean, I used to follow this method, which really helped me. And I know that in Korean, the structure is this, the grammar is this, these vocabulary words, the loan words, so the pronunciation is different. Oh, wow, okay. Great, I'm in. Because a lot of it initially, when you meet a student, you know, a lot of teachers who work on platforms, they say like, I have a lot of trial lessons, but I don't really convert them to long-term students, so they don't really want to stick around for more than a few lessons. I'm like, you need to have that buy-in initially. And you know, some people treat a trial lesson as like, oh, let's just have a chat and get to know you, cool. But it's like, this is who I am, this is what I do, let me help understand what your goals are, and let's work together towards them, and here's how I'm going to help you. I have a systematic strategy, plan. And that's the real difference, I think. Again, when I'm not saying that every teacher should speak multiple languages and be a polyglot, that's not reasonable.
Right.
But at least be open to learning a little about your students and learning from them, because they're the best teachers, actually. Like, I'm just very fortunate that I've had opportunities to work with students from many different countries. And first thing I ask them, how do I say hello in your language? How do I introduce myself? Like, what are some phrases that I should know? And then that way, you know, when I'm teaching, like when I'm teaching my university students, you know, let's say I have a student from Iran, from, I don't know, Saudi Arabia, from China, from Korea, from Japan. I can connect with all of them in a little way. And they'll be like, And I'm like, does he really speak my language or not? I better not talk about him in my language. So that's one advantage. What advice would you give to English teachers or ESL teachers who want to learn a new language? What advice would you say? Like, what's the biggest takeaway that you've had that you could share?
Oh, this is a good one. My advice for teachers who want to learn a new language, I would say to rely on the learning strategy that is most enjoyable, because when I leaned on the strategies that were most boring, I was never able to be consistent, and therefore I wasn't able to do it every day or every week. I couldn't see progress. I couldn't feel progress. I dreaded the process. I just wanted the result. Right. So if you can find a language partner to chat with, do that. That's one that I really love. And if you can find something that can really help you just, really is enjoy the process, but how can I say more? Hold on, my thoughts. Because I know that I didn't have a plan. I wanted a plan. I really do like the step-by-step written out plan, like, oh, first I'm gonna master the first one common 100 words in Chinese. That's actually what I did. Master the most common 100 words. And then know how to learn a sentence in my next 30 days. But honestly, this really strict plan and really strict goal system was counterintuitive for me, because it actually made me even less motivated because of the pressure I put on myself.
Absolutely.
So be easy on us.
Yeah, be easy on yourself. Sorry to cut in there. I was going to say, because it's really common, like at a beginner level, you can learn exponentially, you can make really fast progress. But once you hit that kind of intermediate level, you can really hit a plateau and you can really stagnate. And this is where a lot of students really start to disconnect and lose motivation and feel like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore because I don't see the progress, even though you're making progress. It's like, you know, you're climbing up a mountain and it's like, okay, well, the base camp's there. Well, like, I can see the top, so like, I'm good. Like, why do I need to keep going? Like, this is really tough, and I don't see the point. Like, what's the value of it? So it's like, it's harder to quantify that progress as you get more advanced. So how did you kind of cope with those plateaus or stagnations? How did you kind of overcome them? Like, what was the key for you?
Yeah, I'm still overcoming it, to be honest. But I'm shifting my mindset to be less result-oriented, and instead just, like this week, I'm going to use like 10% Chinese with my student, and then, or my friend or whoever I'm chatting with. And then next week, we're going to do 15%, 50%. And then next week, the 20%. Just using, not the result, not like, oh, I'm going to know how to use like these 20 words.
Right.
Because I feel like it's so much stress, and I have to schedule time into my day, and then it feels like homework. It feels like a burden. I don't want a burden. And in that sense, I would say to just mix it up as well. Because if I do the same thing every single time, like just do my classes and that's it. Oh, I need to listen to a song maybe one day, or listen to a new podcast, new YouTube video, or go on Hello Talk. I use Hello Talk sometimes and find someone new to chat with. And variation for me is always necessary. I hate the mundane. I really can't do repetition. It just makes me feel so drained. So I would say, find resources, connect with people, see what their suggestions are, and try different things every time. And eventually you'll run into something that you fall in love with. That's what happens.
Yeah. People give up because they think there's only one way to do it, or there's only two ways to learn. Rote memorization, or like getting a textbook. Like, well, no, not really. I mean, that might be how other students learn English, but that doesn't mean it has to be the same way you learn another language. What are some of the common misconceptions about learning Chinese? That you'd like to address, maybe that people think like, I can never do it because of this, or like, oh, I've heard this about Chinese. What are some misconceptions you faced and actually want to address?
Misconceptions about learning Chinese. This is a good one. Let me think about that. I would say the fact that you Oh, you need to know how. Oh, I think the one overwhelming thing that people see about Chinese is the character system.
Yes.
And when I first went into it, I was like, oh, no, I don't want to learn how to write this. This is so overwhelming. So many lines. And oh, no, Taiwan uses traditional Chinese as more lines. No. I kind of withdrew and I was like, I'm not going to learn Chinese. But really, in today's day and age, when do we write, right? Yeah. We don't write unless we're writing our name. So the only thing I need to know how to write is my own name. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I know what the character Wu looks like. I know what Shui looks like. If you ask me to write it, do I know how to write it? I have no idea. But I know what it looks like. And that's so, fair. Yeah, it's actually a lot easier when people think to read Chinese, because if you spend the time to read it and message or look at some posts on social media, or maybe even read some article, some simple article, or even chat with ChatGPT. I've had conversations with ChatGPT in Chinese and I'm like, oh,
that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really forced cool. Myself. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point that you've addressed there. You know, again, just because something looks difficult, well, how do you overcome a difficult task? You break it down. You kind of focus on what you need. You don't need to do everything. You know, like, I know how to drive a car. I don't know how the engine works. I don't know how all the different bits and pieces work, but who cares? As long as I can drive it and use it, then that's all that matters, right? And I think it's the same for language. And, you know, when I was learning Korean as well, there was a lot of misconceptions about kind of pronunciation and how, you know, because what I would find is that my friends from America or Canada, they would just, you know, Englishize, like Spanglish, you know, with Spanish, where they just say it like in an American accent or in an English accent. And I'm like, well, that's, you're not going to be understood because it's not the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess I don't want to butcher anything, but, you know, I would find my friends and people would say something, and then I would say it again in Korean, and they would be like, oh, okay, I got it now, because they're not thinking that way. Again, you're just taking the words in English and you're just Koreanizing them in English, just like students do the same. They, you know, I've heard of Chinese students say Chinglish, Spanish, yeah. Spanglish.
Yeah.
And like, true. You kind of get it, but it's a little bit lost, you know? So it's right. Tricky. And that's something that I had to deal with, because again, I don't know about Chinese. I'm guessing there's a lot of loan words from English, like newer words. Is there a lot of loan words from English that you can
Yeah.
But they don't sound the same. You don't say coffee. You say
right, cafe. Oh,
yeah, exactly. So it wouldn't sound the same exactly. So it's tricky. But definitely, those misconceptions again are good learning opportunities, good discussions with your students. You can learn about them and hopefully, you know, understand a little bit more about it. So what are your future goals like for learning Chinese, and how are you going to integrate that with your students and with your classes?
Yeah. Oh, I love this because I have so many goals. My most big goal, the most far out there goal that I have is I'm on a stage with a microphone in front of a huge room of English learners, and I open that thing up in full Chinese. And everyone has their jaws on the floor. Like, just like, what? Wait, who's she? And like, but not in a way that is very like, oh, hello, like, my name is Hannah. Like, I want to open up like in a very charismatic way with right. comedy, because that's that level of like Chinese of any language. If you can like be, if you can use humor in your speaking, like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So I want to be able to emit my personality into Chinese, because I can't even like at this point I can do it in Spanish, but I can't do it like I do in English, you know, and I'm still working on that. So that's one thing, right? And but short term, I mean more like 5 years from now, I really hope to be able to have a full 50-minute conversation with someone on a variety of topics in Chinese. I would be so happy with that. If I can do that and feel proud by the end of it, even if I make some mistakes, cool. I overcame it. That's okay. Yeah,
you can definitely do it. It's definitely doable with enough time. It's just, you know, again, I can't speak for Chinese. I know in Korean I did it, but I was just fortunate enough to live there for 4 years and study and be around it every day. And like, you know, I set myself challenges where I said, okay, I'm going to have a 30-minute class and I'm only going to use Korean. And maybe I can talk about 8 or 9 topics, but I need to expand my vocabulary more. So it definitely is possible. But what I would say is, you know, try to be okay with okay. Don't expect perfection.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my students, they want to be perfect. They say, I want to sound like a native speaker.
Yeah.
And I say, what does that sound like? What
right.
do you mean? Or they say,
yeah.
I want my English to be perfect. I'm like, again, is that realistic? So
right.
yeah. I always think about goal setting, you know, when I meet students as well, as I always do the 3-6-12 rule. So I say, what's a short-term goal we can achieve and where you can see progress quickly? 6 months, let's go a little bit more medium term. Mm-hmm. What's a more realistic goal? And then 12 months. And then we look back and we keep checking, and that helps motivate. So I know teachers can do this as well, hopefully, with that. Yeah, it's really inspiring to see other teachers in the community, you know, try to learn new languages, immerse themselves in new languages, and again, use this to help their students, because ultimately that's going to give you an advantage over a lot of others. So it's really an admirable thing, and hopefully more teachers can you know, start learning from their students and trying to expand their knowledge. And the fact that you can speak English, Spanish, and Chinese, like, that's going to give you a huge potential market, right? So
right.
that's the goal. That is the goal. So where can our listeners connect with you? How can they get in touch with you and find out more about what you do, Hannah?
You can definitely connect with me on Instagram at Speak On With Hannah. I'm also on YouTube, same username, Speak On With Hannah. And I'm also available for you for one-on-one classes or group sessions on Amazing Talker. If you want to learn more about that, you can get in touch with me on the gram on Instagram.
Amazing. I will drop all the links in the description below.
Thank you.
What an amazing conversation, Hannah. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Daniel. Such an honor. I really appreciate this opportunity. It's so awesome. Love it.
All right. Thank you, Hannah, for an amazing interview. I really enjoyed speaking to you and learning about your experience going through learning Chinese and how this actually helped you as an English teacher as well. So if you do want to follow Hannah, you can find her on social media. She's on Instagram at SpeakOnWithHannah. That is all one word. And Hannah is spelled H-A-N-N-A. You'll find all the information below in the description. And what a great way to start off our new season of ESL Talk. So do remember to subscribe every Wednesday for new episodes. They are dropped every single Wednesday. And also don't forget to visit our website, esl-talk.com, where you can find all our previous episodes for free. We also have a lot of video content that we've been posting up on YouTube as well. So don't forget to follow us on YouTube, and you can subscribe there for all the video content if you prefer it that way. And last but not least, don't forget our sponsor, esl-curriculum.com, where you can access 600 plus ready-to-go, ready-to-teach lessons just by simply signing up for your free 2-week trial, esl-curriculum.com. That is it for this week, almost 45 minutes in length, a great episode. So we look forward to seeing you again next week for another brand new episode of ESL Talk. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's J-U-V-E-D-E-R-M DERM.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe for even more ESL teaching content.